For the rest of our time together as I'm speaking here, I want to encourage you to open up your Bible to Matthew. So that's in the New Testament, you know, more than halfway. We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but we're going to go to Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. And as I was at home alone, I'm sure you guys go through this as well. You're like, okay, I got a to-do list. Got to get some stuff done around the house. The wife's out of town. And so we actually ended up buying a king bed. So we moved our bed into the spare room. And then I moved the spare room bed downstairs in my son Moses' room. We moved Moses' bed into my son Emmanuel's room. And oh my gosh, I was so tired on Saturday. Just exhausted from that whole experience. But as I moved the bed, I thought, we're a pretty clean family. Like, oh my word, where did all this dust come from? And like, I have a bunny, we have a rabbit, so there's all this fur balls everywhere. So I'm, you know, vacuuming it up. And so what else do we do during spring? We think about spring cleaning. You know, we think about the vehicle. Oh, it's like, okay, now it's warm out. Now you feel like cleaning the inside of the vehicle. You didn't want to do it before then. The medicine cabinet, you're thinking like, some of these things are expired. You got to deal with it, right? The windows too, you got to deal with that. You know, get all the film off the window. Your oven, I don't know, you can cheat now. Just push a button. Your oven deals with itself. We think about the clothes, your shoes. We all have too much of that. We got to get rid of some of it. I just want you to know that. I'm a size 32. I'm just having some fun with you. But, you know, we got to deal with some of that stuff. So spring cleaning. But I want to talk about a spiritual spring cleaning with you this morning. What do we need to do internally? What do we need to do with ourselves? How do we become more spiritual? How do we get closer to Christ? And so sometimes we got to have a self-assessment, a little check-in. And so I want to talk to you about that. So Mark chapter 7 is where we're going to start. Verse 1, this says, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean. Uh-oh, this was unwashed, so they didn't have clean hands. And I need to unpack this quite a bit before we would read any further, because if we don't have a context or a setting, you're just kind of blah, 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 reading through Scripture. I mean, not that Scripture is blah, blah, blah. That's a terrible way to put it. But if you don't understand what it's meaning or what's it about, then there's no, it doesn't resonate with you. And because I've turned this into a two-part series, this whole thing, it says clean and unclean, from chapter 7, verse 1, all the way to verse 23, which turned into a two-part series. I'll share the first part today. And then next week, it's Mother's Day, so I should probably share on something different than cleaning a house. That would be terrible. I can't believe I just said that. And then it's going to be May long weekend, and I'm going to be out at the camp doing a big work bee on the 17th. I hope many of you will be there. And then Len's going to preach, so that'd be awesome. Len, where did you go? You're around here somewhere. Anyways, Len's going to minister the word on the 17th. And then at the end of the month, I'll finish part two of this thing. But because of that, I have to lay a big foundation, a big understanding before we just start moving through the story. So let's just pause there for a second. So we read something about the Pharisees and unclean hands. So if we went back to that time, Jesus is in Jerusalem, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law are coming to check on Jesus, saying, hey, there's this new rabbi in town, and he's got this thing he's talking about, and there's all this miracles and healings going on. They're like, we need to check. And honestly, that's a good thing. Like, at the end of the day, you've got a board of elders, we've got ministry leaders, I'm live on camera, you got the POC, International Global, watching and listening to what we say, because they are double checking that we're not preaching and teaching falsehood. Pharisees were doing the same thing to Jesus. Jesus, we just got to check in with, like, is this guy legit? Is he real? And so this is the kind of context that we read in. So those individuals, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, man, they knew Scripture. If we went back to the Old Testament, they actually knew this. They had memorized the first five books of the Bible. Like, these were the elite of the elite. Like, those people that got a 4.0 grade point average, the AA plus student. Like, these are the guys. This is the cream of the crop. And so we pick up. So what did they learn or what did they know? We go back to Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament there, in the first couple books, we would read this. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 12, if you hear it said about one of the towns the Lord your God is giving to you to live in, that wicked men have arisen among you and have led people of their own town astray, saying, let's go worship some other foreign gods, gods you don't know about, then you must inquire, you must probe, you must investigate it thoroughly. And if it's true and it has been proved that this is a detestable thing that has been done among you, then this is what the Pharisees are to do. Go check it out, make sure it's legit, and if it's not, kick it out, deal with it. And if we were to read in the Old Testament here, it said kill it. Like they have to destroy it, cut it off, and never, you know, go there again. And so let's skip down to verse 17. None of these condemned things shall be found in your fierce anger. He will show, instead, if you deal with things, if you investigate things before you let them into your lives, this is how God responds to you. He'll show mercy. He'll show compassion on you. He'll increase your numbers, as he has promised on the oath of his forefathers, because you obey the Lord your God, keeping all his commands that I am giving you today and doing what is right in his eyes. So when we think about the Pharisees, again, don't be so harsh on them and don't judge them so, because they were doing what they thought was right. What do you think is right as a Christian? What do you think the church should be doing? Those are the things that we should be passionate about and defend. And anytime we investigate or we look at something or we hear something and we realize it's wrong, we got to kill it. We got to kick it out of our lives. We don't want any of that stuff in our lives. I don't want anything that's unclean. I don't want anything that's negative or going to bring me down or my family or the church. We got to look at those things. It's important. It's like spring cleaning. They are so far on the one side, though. This is why the Pharisees, we don't like them in a sense, scripturally or biblically, because they're so extreme that they miss that Jesus was the Messiah, right? They're so judgmental. But I feel like, and this isn't anything against this side of the room, I'm just kind of having some fun with my arms here, so legalistic and so extreme to this side, going so loose, so, you know, not nonchalant, don't really care. Well, I got a little bit of sin in my life, but it's all good. Like, I feel like we've gone too far the other way. Yes, I don't agree with legalistic and, you know, too heavy. I understand that. But don't go so far the other way. You just kind of accept everything the world has to offer. Oh, it's all good. It's all tasty. I should have it all in my life. No, we got to land in the middle somewhere. And we got to probe. We got to investigate, just like those individuals do, and say, is this important? Is this good for my life? And if it's not, then we clean house. We deal with it. Now, for some of us, I think about the heart. And so as I was preparing this message, I think, let's get all mushy. Let's get all soft and teary-eyed around a table together. And guys are like, you're checking out already. You're like, I don't even want to be a part of this thing. You know, it's always so emotional in the church. You know, and guys were just like, you know, I'm okay. You know, I'm not emotional. Like, no. Okay, so let me look through the lens of hockey with you. Okay, last night we know it was game 7. Tonight we got a game 7. I understand that. But let's pretend we're the goalie. It's game 7. It's triple overtime, and you're the goalie. Like, what are you thinking? Are you thinking, like, this is hard work? I don't know if I'm tired now. Or are you thinking, like, I'm going to sacrifice my entire body, and if a puck is coming at me, I'm going to throw myself at it. I don't even care if my helmet's off, if I'm bleeding. I'm going to stop this puck in Jesus' name because we want to win. You know, just like for men, we need to be the same way over our homes, over our children, over our workplaces. We have to say, hey, the things that come into my life, maybe the things that we watch on TV, the books that we read, all these kind of different things that might come into our lives, are we like those mighty men of God, those goalkeepers that will not let anything in? Like Dominic Hasek was a goalie that just, he would jump backwards and just, he was just insane. He would stop every puck. It was just amazing. Are we those kind of men that we're like, we're going to go and we're going to keep going until the fight is won? We're not going to give up because we want a clean house. We want to make sure that we're spiritually clean. So again, that's a man with heart. That's a man with courage. That's a man, that's the kind of guy we want to be. And so I was having some fun with you there a little bit with the hockey thing. Let me have some more fun with you just because we're on that idea for just a second. I just, you know, just a quick rabbit trail just because this came to my mind. The Muskrat Jamboree in Inuvik, Northwest Territory. So every year they have a big festival up there. All kinds of things where you carry what they call muktuk, which is whale blubber. There's a race. And if you win the race, you win the bucket of muktuk. I'm like, I don't want to win this race. But anyways, I've had it. I've stuck it in HP sauce, and it's still very not pleasant. It's full of minerals and vitamins. I get all that stuff. I don't care. It's not good for you. I'm just joking with you. So one of the games, though, where you put on, like, garbage bags on your feet, and you're on the Mackenzie River, which is frozen, which you would drive up to before to Inuvik, Kentucky, up to the Arctic Ocean. It's not there anymore because they built the $300 million road, which is sea to sea to sea to sea to sea highway. But it used to be just this frozen 8-lane glare ice highway. We play hockey on it. with garbage bags on her feet. So not skates, but just garbage bags. You know how hard it is to run with a garbage bag on your feet? So we were playing this game one time, one year, and it was the semifinals. And so we're in the semifinals. We're down 2-1. It's first 1-3. And I looked at my goalie and said, you don't let another goal, you don't let that puck pass this goal ever again today. Do you understand me? You know, I'm looking him in the eye like, we're going to win this game. And so he did, like I'm telling you, he was flailing. He was jumping everywhere. It was amazing. He stopped everything. We got 2 more goals. We went to the finals and we got totally schooled by these young people out there just had like their running shoes on, just a pair of jeans on. It's minus 40. I'm in like full on headgear and, you know, snow pants and everything. And they're just running around, just dancing around me. They just beat us 3-0. It was so embarrassing. I was like, oh my gosh, we just won. But I don't care. In the semis, baby. We stopped the puck. We did so well. And so I want to encourage you as well in your life. What kind of areas in your life are you're down 2-1? You know, you're feeling like, you know, this part of my life is, it's getting the better of me. And we've got to just have a little heart to heart with our goalie. You know what, buddy? We got to just stand up. We got to man up. We got to pony up this thing. And we got to not let anything else pass this thing. So I hope that, you know, from a man's perspective, that makes a little bit of sense. So, Mark chapter 7, we got a bit of taste of those Pharisees, why they were so judgmental against Jesus, because they were trying to protect what they thought was right. The second thing is the writer of the book of Mark is Mark. But along the way, we've got to this point in chapter 7. We've got to understand it's the third time that we hear about this cleanliness of washing of hands and this kind of stuff and why Mark is so emphatic about making sure we understand this. So let's go back to Mark chapter 1. And we're going to see three different stories where there's a talking about hands and cleanliness and cleaning of hands to make a third point here in chapter 7. That's why it's really important for us to understand that. So Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40. It says, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, are you willing to make me clean? Like, how serious are we about our sin and being unclean that we would come to Jesus on our knees and just beg God, please. Often you'll come to me and say, you know, Pastor, good message. But I wonder, like, is it good tomorrow or in a week from now? Did it really resonate with you? Because you were like, I learned something, and I'm going to apply it to my life. And so I pray that we would be like this. We would go to Jesus on our knees and say, God, we need help. I want to be better. I want to get over this. And verse 41, listen to how Jesus responds to this man. There's a man begging on his knees with Jesus. This is how Jesus responds, just like we saw in Deuteronomy in the very beginning. It's all throughout Scripture, filled with compassion. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Back in those days, if you touched somebody that was unclean or dirty, you were considered unclean and dirty. How many times are we afraid to go and sit with somebody and, you know, pray with them and encourage them because we're thinking, man, we might get affected by that. Jesus was willing. He reached out his hand and touched them. You are free. We're going to get free. I like how Scripture, it edifies and equips and teaches us. Every Sunday. I remember somebody recently was saying to me just a little while ago, they're saying, are you looking forward to Easter Sunday where you can preach the salvation message and the gospel? Thinking, I think our church does that every Sunday, where we preach the gospel and we hope that people get saved and we're expecting amazing things to happen. And it's like, oh well, we're just kind of coasting through, waiting for Christmas to come around or something, or till this conference that we go to. No, every blinking Sunday, something amazing could happen. And I don't know who it will be or when it will be or what's the music or, you know, the end time or, you know, whatever. God wants to speak to you, whether it's communion. Praise God. He wants to do something. I hope we're listening to that. We're waiting for that because Jesus is alive and he wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. He wants to help us, to clean us up, to point us in the right direction. So that's cleanliness of hands, point one. Let's go to point two. So Mark chapter 5, verse 24, we'll just read. It's a bit of a story here. You're going to understand it once we're done. A large crowd in verse 24 followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Oh my gosh, how many of us can relate to that? When she heard about this, she came behind him in the crowd, came behind Jesus and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body. She knew that something had happened. She'd been freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in this massive crowd. Who touched me and my clothes? So the people crowding against him, his disciples answered, yet you ask, who touched me? What are you, crazy? There's like a million people here following me. I don't know who touched you. Jesus kept looking around. He wanted to know who had touched him. Then this woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. I think a lot of us, and I can understand this and relate to this, man, I've done a lot of ridiculous things. I've done a lot of things that are just brutal. And I know in the beginning, I thought, if I go to God and be honest with God, I'm afraid to tell him. I'm actually fearful of being super honest with a guy. Like, I think he's going to be like, well, you messed up to me. Strike 7, you're out. You know, I don't know what it looks like. And I see in Scripture, I can't find that response ever. All I can see in Scripture is like people respond openly to God, and God is filled with compassion, and he's filled with mercy. And he says things like this. We don't need to be afraid of God. God's not upset with us. He's not disappointed with us. He wants to help us. And look what he says to this woman in verse 34. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Oh, come on. I need that. I need to hear that. I need to be encouraged by that. I need physical healing. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, I've got this gluten cracker here. Like, me and gluten are friends. But right now, we're not close acquaintances, you know, because it's not good for my body, supposedly, as doctors tell me. So I get that. I want to be close to Jesus. I want him to help me through everything that I'm going through. And he cares for me. I can cry out to him. I can get close to him. I can touch him. I can say, please. I'm in expectation as I get closer to Jesus and his word that more and more healing and freedom and peace will come into my life. And I desire that. I want less of the world and more of Jesus in my life. Okay, that was just the foundation. Now, are we okay to move forward now with the rest of the story? We almost got to where I want to finish off here, but we'll unpack it a bit more in a month from now. But verse 3 of Mark chapter 7 says, the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come in from the marketplace, they don't eat unless they wash. Now, I got to be honest with you. Hey, we got kids. I get that. When we're out town or outside or something, you get in the house. Hey, wash your hands before you eat. What are you, gross? That's disgusting. But the Pharisees go too far because this is what happens. And they observe many other traditions such as washing cups and pitchers and kettles. So listen to what Jesus says to this idea. Jesus is into washing his hands. He's not like gross and dirty. But it's religious. It's over the top. And this is what Jesus says to Pharisees that are too far legalistic. This is what he says to them in verse 23 of Matthew. Let's go back just one book, Matthew 23. I promise I won't jump around anymore after this. Verse 25. It says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside, you're full of greed, selfishness, self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, clean the inside of your cup and dish so that the outside can be clean. Isn't that so important to understand? When we look at what's on the inside and we take care of the internal things, that all of a sudden the external things become different. You start trying to deal with just external things by washing your hands. You remember when I can't believe they asked me to do this. When we did the Good Friday service and I had to act, I was up here as Pilate, and I was trying to wash the blood off my hands. Like, I washed my hands clean of Jesus' crucifixion. You remember that in the end part, I was just washing, like, yeah, don't worry, honey. I was talking about my wife as Pilate, saying, don't worry, honey, don't worry about your dreams, don't worry about all the worry that you have about Jesus. We're washing my hands of that. And you just like feel like they just feel dirty, can't get them clean. Because you got the wrong focus. Got to focus on our heart. If we take care of the heart, this will be clean as well. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. If we want to talk about doing spring clean the heart, and the rest will be good. Because then what comes out of the heart will come out of your mouth. And that'll be positive and uplifting to each and one of us. And so when I think about sharing this message with you, yeah, it's a bit hard, right? You're saying, okay, Pastor, take it easy on me. It feels like you're just kind of lighting me up like a Christmas tree over here. But I see a room full of people that do that. I see a room full of people that when they go to their workplaces, the atmosphere changes. I see a room full of people when we come here Sunday morning, because you feel this. You say to me often, you say to each other, you go, I like this place. It's full of good people. Why is it full of good people? Because good people are taking care of their hearts so that what comes out of them is refreshing. Isn't it? Isn't it joyful and peaceful? We're like, I'm excited to go to church. It feels like it's full of good people. Well, it is, because good people are taking care of business. They're taking care of their heart. They're doing surgery inside. They're saying, we got to clean up. We got to take care of that part of our heart. And so that's just a wonderful thing. Thank you guys for doing that. It's just so refreshing. So let's just finish off a couple more verses here, and then we'll just wrap this thing up. Mark chapter 7, verse 5. And then from verses 8 onward, 8 to 23, again, we'll do that in a month's time. We'll kind of unpack that. It's really, really sweet. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? And Jesus replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. And so Isaiah, if we went back to the Old Testament, is a prophet. He was speaking prophetically when Jesus had come. And so Mark is pulling from Isaiah. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips. Like they give me lip service, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are but rules taught by men. The church isn't here to just be a bunch of rule followers. The church is here so that we would follow Christ. And so when we go through an order of a service, we hope that it will point you to Jesus. We hope that it encourage you and lift you up and bring you to Christ. Now, I brought a special illustration here this morning. My bat. Now be careful here. I know I'm going to hit something. I probably smashed something. I apologize already in advance. Okay, so the bat's not important. Yeah, I watched a movie the other day, a long time ago now, actually. And in the movie, the climax pinnacle point in the movie was that there was this gentleman, and he was just struggling with things. You know, in the movie, like the internet had just come out and online, all that kind of stuff. So he was just struggling on being alone at home on the computer. And so one day in the climactic point of the whole movie, he was like, okay, I'm going to deal with this thing. And so he honestly just takes his computer, takes the whole desktop, takes it in his backyard. Let's pretend this is it. Doug, is it okay if I hit this thing? No, I'm joking. But he goes in his backyard, and he just starts beating on the thing. And so I'm not encouraging you to do that, please. Don't think like, hey, let's just like waste thousands of dollars on your desktop and smash it to splinters. But the guy was so convicted. He said, I'm going to take care of business. I got to get this thing right. I got to get free of this. So he took it seriously. And so again, I'm not encouraging you to take your bat and start beating on things or bust up your nice, you know, things that you own. But I hope you take it seriously. I hope that when you do a to-do list with your spring cleaning, you're doing a spiritual to-do list as well. You're saying, hey, there might be an area of my life I want to get free of. And I want to expose it. I want to deal with it. I want to talk about it because I want to be more Christ-like. I hope that resonates with you. I hope you're encouraged by that thought. Let me just look at a list here. I didn't know if I was going to go there, but I do want to go there. So Mark, this is on your screen, so hopefully you got your books with you. The very end of this teaching, the story in Mark says, verse 20, says, he went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him, it's not what comes out of a man that makes him unclean, for from within, out of a man's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from within inside and make the man unclean. And so when we look at that list, we can all fall in there somewhere. And this really happened. Now, my wife and kids aren't here, so I can say this. We're online. I might get in trouble later. But this weekend, we have a rabbit in our house, and it got loose. I tell you, when I thought about malice, I thought, I want to throttle this thing because it's going to chew on something. Like, stop it. And so I had to, manhandle this rabbit to get him back in his cage. But in the moment, I thought, I fall under this list. I was just upset. I was like, you know, this bunny is going to do damage to my house, and I'm just going to open the garage and just walk away. You know, like, and see, I can say that to you now, but, you know, my wife and kids would come home later, and then there might be, what other one would become there? Rage and anger, and there could be a lot of stuff go wrong if I do that. But I share that with you seriously. Like, we all are going to face things that you don't expect, and they're going to come at you from the weirdest areas. And they're going to kind of boil up inside of you something that, you know, you're not used to. You're like, well, where did that emotion come from? And when we go through premarital counseling, we talk about those things. Like, hey, when you're at your best, you act this way. Hey, when you're under stress and there's conflict, you act this way. Look at that seriously. Don't just brush it off and think, whatever. I've been this way for 40 years. Just deal with it. That's just who I am. Like, why are you that way? What's causing that? Deal with some spring cleaning in your heart. I just pray that over us in Jesus' name. That would be really helpful. So let me just pause. I want to pray over us, and then we'll move on in our service. So Father, this morning, I thank you for the truth of your word that speaks so clearly to us. It's designed to be simple. It's designed to be easy to apply in our lives. And we see these stories that... God, I feel like it's difficult for us to kind of be honest with you. We feel shameful. We feel like we've let you down in some way. And that's the furthest from the truth. We see in your scripture, we see these stories, which encourages us that we can be open and honest with you. We can say, God, I need help today. I'm going to need help tomorrow, and I'm going to need help the next day too. But I know that I've got somebody that's walking with me. And so I gladly open myself up to you. I gladly open up my heart and my emotions, and I want to be transparent and honest with you. And thank you that it doesn't freak you out. Thank you that it's not new information to you. Thank you that you have compassion and you have mercy on us. And you forgive us and you cleanse us. And you said, I see humanity, I see people, and they're going to need help. And I've sent my only son to die for them. I sent my Holy Spirit to be with them until we meet again. And so, Lord, we want to receive that with open arms here this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.